Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial and you want to stay up to date with everything happening here at the station, download the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. You can also stream us anytime, anywhere on the TuneIn Radio app, as well as the iHeartRadio app. So we're making sure to give you some options if you want to stay up to date with all the content happening here at the station. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. Follow him on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey.
Where are you hanging out tonight?
Come on down. Dan McGinnis, 7 o'clock. We've got some music bingo going on. And then, of course, coming out tomorrow night for some general knowledge trivia. Also at Dan McGinnis in South Haven.
How I Met Your Mother. Does your generation even care about that show?
I'm sure some people do. Just skipped over me, I suppose.
Yeah, the last season left a bad taste in everyone's mouth.
It hasn't hit streaming wise yet. So, like, I mean, it's on a streaming service, but like,
I think it's on Netflix. Yeah.
But like, any show at any point could become the show. You know, I think maybe it's going to need TikTok's help or something. Like, if Suits became a big deal, like, I mean, How I Met Your Mother could become a big deal at some point. You know, on streaming, we've seen it. With Friends, obviously, streaming helped elevate that. I thought Seinfeld was going to get a little Netflix bump.
The Office popped big once it hit streaming.
But, you know, we're still now we have too many streaming services, so just being on Netflix doesn't necessarily help you like it used to be. But what's up?
The voice that you hear is, of course, the MC of Fun and Games here in Memphis. He's the host of Writer Than Write Trivia, where tomorrow we will be playing for two tickets to see James Taylor. That is September the 13th. Tickets on sale now. That is at Bank Plus Amphitheater. The website, CerritoEntertainment.com, on X at Cerrito. Good day, sir.
What's up? Yes, George. Hosting some music bingo tonight. I'll be out in Carville at the Hueys.
Has that become your regular Wednesday spot?
Yeah.
I feel like that's...
Yeah, like here. Since we started it, I've been there every Wednesday night hanging out in Carville. But yeah, it's Labor Day weekend coming up here, so all of our music bingos, we're really celebrating summer. We've got Songs of the Summer playing at most of our locations this week, so come out and celebrate the last unofficial week of summer. It already feels like fall, though.
Was there a Song of the Summer
this summer?
I feel like that was more in a radio era.
No, there's still Songs of the Summer every year. Yeah, there's still Songs of the Summer every year. I mean, last year...
But there was there one this year?
Last year has not... I mean, I don't know if you can declare
last,
it
last
yet.
Last year was Hot to Go, right?
Hot to Go was on the list. I think more so...
Hot to Go is a banger. I'll stand for that song.
A bar song, Tipsy, which became really the song of the year in a lot of ways. A bar song, Tipsy, I think was near the top of most lists, depending if you're looking at Billboard or Spotify.
Did I see Espresso, he's dating one of the
Not
Ratajkowskis?
Like Us was big... Birds of a
George,
Feather
look
was big last year.
Look up if Shaboozy. I think he's dating like a Ratajkowski.
Is he really?
Yeah, good for him.
So there's a clutch. I'm not sure if we've declared this year's, and I'm not sure what it would be. I think it was very obvious some contenders last
summer.
What
were the biggest hits of like...
From People, Emily.
Yeah, good for him. I got no problems rooting for that
guy. Well, Spotify actually looks like 6 hours ago, Spotify has revealed the 25 songs of the summer. According to Spotify, we have Ordinary by Alex Warren, Shake It to the Max Fly Remix, Love Me Not, Man Child by Sabrina Carpenter, and Back to Friends. I'm going to be listening to all these today, and I'm sure I've heard them, but
I have a take.
I don't think it's a...
Sabrina Carpenter should be right in my lane. I don't know. I can't do it. There's something about the songs. I don't think her songs are that good.
I disagree. I think she's got...
I mean, I'm very much in the chick pop, chick rock. Like, that is right in my sweet spot.
Watch out. You know, she's going to be with Taylor Swift on this new album. So
I was going to say...
She's already soaring. Like,
thoughts on Olivia Rodrigo?
That last Olivia Rodrigo album, front to back, fantastic. That
I
one
got
goes.
I was about to say, you said it. I got the vibe.
Yeah. No, yeah. I am much more in the give me Avril, give me...
More Avril.
Give
me Paramore.
Give me Breakaway, Kelly Clarkson's Breakaway album. Mm. Paramore's first two albums. After that, not for me. Katy Perry's first two albums, absolutely. Like that's my speed. Like that should be my lane, but I don't know. The Espresso song just did nothing for me.
Oh, it didn't. Well, I mean, I'm a big fan of
my wife loves her,
Sabrina Carpenter. So, but yeah, she's got staying power for sure. She's sticking around, and I was trying to find out if Billboard had released. You know, Billboard has a chart now where they track the songs of the summer every summer, and I don't know what will necessarily be on the top because the lists are a little bit different than Spotify, right? But they are usually closely connected. But yeah, there's still songs of the summer. I love songs of the summer. You know, you got to take a nice road trip. Y'all went to San Diego,
we
right?
Did,
so you were in the plane, so you really weren't like
we had a car. We went because we went from downtown basically to like north of San Diego. Like that was we did half the trip in downtown, half the trip like in Carlsbad.
But a road trip in the summer, even in the
there's definitely such thing as summer songs.
Yeah,
the
satellite radio era. There are definitely. I think TikTok helps. You know, obviously streaming helps.
I mean, obviously though, when we were in San Diego, there was a heavy emphasis on we're in San Diego. We would be listening to Blink because they're from San Diego.
Yeah.
So we did a lot of that.
Yes.
All right, let's see what we got coming up on the program. Buy, sell short, or go to Reddit is coming up next. Let's talk some Tiger football. Also, we've got the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame official nominations, right? The inductions, not the nominations. We have the complete list of inductions.
Yeah, they announced them yesterday afternoon, I believe. Yeah.
And I know Kevin had made this an issue that he wanted to talk about when I was in San Diego, so we will discuss that. We'll get into our TV timeout. Still no update on Fox versus YouTube, but also good news for Tom Brady. Maybe this is the rule for all of us. Like, just ignore the rules. And if you're rich enough and good-looking enough, things just tend to work out for you. So we'll do that. Also, I noticed this. We might have an arch hater hitting the airwaves. Somebody might be carving out his lane as he's going to be the anti-arch guy. There's always going to be one, so we'll tell you about that. Also, we'll get into the list. During hour number two, New Mexico's depth chart was quite hilarious. We'll discuss that and more. CJ Hurt's going to join us during hour number two. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But let's start with some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. All right, Kevin.
Yes.
If the Tigers don't reach the American Championship game, the football season will be a failure.
All right. They don't reach the championship game. I think it's going to be a failure, I'm a big believer in the opportunity is now for Tiger football to do something. There has never been a better opportunity for the Memphis football team to win games and be successful with a chance for postseason success, right? They've never ever had a chance to contend for a national title, but they legitimately had one last year. Boise State got that spot, and they legitimately have one again this year. And the road to that is winning your conference. You're not going to get invited to the college football playoffs to get blown out. Yes, sure, they might. Great. Yeah, more than likely. But if they get there. But the fact is they could punch their ticket and they could get there, which very few college football teams can do, which is also it's been talked about. Brett McMurphy on this station last week. We've seen it with Cincinnati. We've seen it with Louisville. It is very important to have your football team positioned in the proper light at the time of conference realignment.
I mean, Ed Scott has even said it.
Right. And Ed Scott's even, he's even saying that. So, like, that's what the focus should be. It does not matter if the Tiger basketball team wins a game this year as far as conference realignment goes. Because if Penny's still the coach, that's the big get right there. That's what they got. You know, what matters is this football team and how successful the football team is. And we don't know how long it's going to be such an easy path to that championship. But in order to get to the college football playoffs, which is a realistic possibility, ladies and gentlemen, once again, Memphis, we can look at it here in a second if you want, Jeffrey, but I feel like a handful of teams have a chance to get that spot for the, what are we calling the six conferences now?
I think we're now calling it group of six.
For the group of six. The group of six, now that the Pac-12 is involved and the American is rebranded. Where was the outrage over the American rebrand, like Cracker Barrel? Was that like, what was going on?
Well,
here?
Instead of getting rid of a mascot, they added a mascot.
They added one, yeah. Or maybe that's the key. But I would have to say I'm definitely buying it would be a failure, even though, yes, Memphis could beat Arkansas at home, and that would be a highlight from the old standards of Memphis football. That's all you would need, right? I feel like you would. All you would need is a home win over Arkansas. That's how simple Memphis football has been historically. Like, yeah, that would typically be a highlight. That's all you needed to have a successful season.
Yeah,
I
think I would also argue, though, the difference, though, was in that point in time, Memphis was not the best job in the conference.
Right. Oh, for sure. Memphis is the best job in the conference. They have
Even when Memphis had very, like, that's the thing that I think.
Times have changed. Yeah, times have definitely changed.
Memphis has had good teams that were like 7-5, but the league was top to bottom better.
I can't argue with that. That's why I think it'd be a failure. It definitely would be, like, how many years has Silverfield been here? Like,
I believe 20. So 2019. It was the Cotton Bowl of, I think the Cotton Bowl was played pre-New Year's Day. So I think it was the Cotton Bowl of 2020. But his first season was the COVID season.
I feel like it might have been John earlier today on the station being like, if you can't get it done in the 5, 6, 7 years this guy has been here, like, is he ever going to get it done? With the biggest budget, the easiest schedule that this football team has ever seen in its history, he's had the easiest schedule and the biggest budget, and he can't get it done in six seasons, then what are we doing here? I believe that could be the exact same quote.
I mean, to me,
I heard earlier today.
I'm buying this as well. And obviously, before the sensitive Tiger football fans get butthurt, within reason. Like, if this team has 25 injuries, and
we're not.
That's not what the point of this is. Like, we're assuming relative health.
Right.
Like, it's football. People get hurt. But that's exactly the question. If you can't win this league,
right?
I think it is I understand what the argument would be, but this is where I'm not even saying winning the championship game. I'm just saying playing it.
Playing it is the bar.
That's the pass fail. If you can't do that,
they could lose to that in that game to Tulane, which would not put them in the college football playoffs.
Sure, and I'm not even saying like they have to host it or whatnot. Like, just get to that game, because now the schedule breaks for you where every big game's at home, and so. But then I do think this is where you start to run into this. All right, there's not an unlimited supply of money. This is where the people that are, and I don't think they're quite as big in numbers they used to be, but they still exist. You start giving a lot of credence to the, wait a minute, why are we prioritizing football?
Right. I think from a Memphis funds budget-wise, prioritizing football is what you got to do. And I think your question to me is more, is Ryan the guy to help lead Memphis
to this hypothetical invite
that they get to another conference?
So this is where you're in the weird spot, though. What are you going to do? Because I don't really think, like, to me, the floor.
Well, here's the worst case scenario.
The floor feels like it's like 7-5, maybe.
But you say pass or fail is making, so the conference, just making the conference championship game. Here's the problem with that. Here's the problem with that. That's like being that mediocre NBA team that gets bounced from the playoffs in the first round, but has no potential to do anything. Like, that's not going to do anything for the fan base. The fan base is not going to be, I mean, some people will be more excited. Oh, we're going to definitely be excited day of to play in that game. But if Memphis plays in the conference championship and loses, that's going to be do nothing for growing the fan base locally. It's going to do nothing nationally to get attention that, wait a minute, this Memphis is different than the Memphis that I remember. Because remember, that's a key for the Big 12. They kept saying, well, nothing much has changed in Memphis. They look at Memphis the same way. The one thing that we are capable of doing with the football program right now is making people look at Memphis football differently. And
if
yes,
you were,
they look
if
at
you
it
were
differently.
An analyst, if you're an analyst on Wall Street, what you would say is the opportunity for growth for Memphis is in football.
It's absolutely, and I'm worried that even making the championship game
gets you
zero growth. I think you get zero growth. It's going to keep Ryan as the coach, guaranteed, and it's not going to put you, it's not going to rally the fan base, and it's not going to get the attention that you need nationally from these other conferences to really send home the fact that Memphis has changed in football. This Memphis has definitely changed since we were kids, Jeffrey.
Oh,
this
God,
has changed
yeah.
since we were So, you know, we were in high school. So, whenever. Tommy West D'Angelo years, everything before that.
I'll defend.
We would trade for this.
People overlook those teams. Like, those teams were, like, relatively even, probably as good, if not better, than all of these teams. It's just the way the schedules worked.
But just predating the year 2000, right? Memphis football. Any of those seasons, you would love to trade with any of these seasons from the 2000s, practically, except the Tennessee win season, right? And that's one of those.
And really, that's a game.
Yeah, but that's one of those. Like, that's how Memphis football used to be.
Shear got a second contract from one game.
That's how it used to be. It was defined by that one win, right? And the Arkansas game really could very similar be that in the old days, in the pre-2000s Memphis football, where you would trade any season for any of these 2000 seasons, practically any season. Shout out to Larry Porter. But the current state of Memphis football is kind of like you're trying to get over that hump, right? You're trying to get over the hump.
You want to get into a different class. I don't know if like because sometimes over the hump, like it's a little too.
You want to get into a no.
I think you want to be considered in a different class, which is right now you are in this class where you're a good G5 program. But, like, you're not top of mind.
Right. You're not. You're not at all. You're not, or G6, right, as we're calling it.
G6, sorry.
Play that song. We need to play that great song.
Oh, that's so college.
But the, like a G6. They play like
Far East Movement, is that right? How can I remember that?
That is who it is, yeah. Far East Movement. The Grizzlies want their, you know, Big East Movement or whatever, but like a G6. All right, George, we got to find that. And we're coming back from commercial with that one. But Memphis is still. I
can't believe they didn't have more hits.
Memphis should be the best team in the G6. They really should be. They should be. And every year they have a chance to be. That's what's kind of weird, right? So, like, under this new era where one team from outside the power conference gets that invite to the college football playoffs. Last year was year one. This is year two. Memphis is in the conversation of the teams that could be there. The thing is, until they actually get there, I still think they're just in that conversation. They haven't proven anything. And as far as to the fans, to get the fans' attention, the casual fans, the football fans here who treat Memphis, let's be fair. Like, who wants to see a mediocre team play lousy teams? You just don't want to see that, right? But if you're an awesome dominating team, if Memphis football could go out and dominate the conference schedule like Calipari used to dominate the conference schedule in basketball, more people would be showing up. And they're not doing that. And I feel like that might be the other way to – right, that's what I want to see. I want to see some conference blowouts, Jeffrey. Like conference blowouts. Can we get some of that going here? Because you got to – the fan excitement and the respect nationally is not – there under this current setup.
Yeah,
and we're going to get 1 year of somewhat interest in the building next year, but
Lawrence Dockery, to your point, writes in, one of the issues with Silverfield is this. 6 of his 21 losses featured blown double-digit leads, and 13 of his 42 wins are one-possession games against teams that finished with losing records.
Well, there you go.
So like, there's this question, of, like, well,
is he the right guy for this moment?
I think there's also, like, they love to promote – like, you know, the 10 wins and whatnot. And the problem is you can sit there from a PR standpoint and pump your chest out. We all know it's not the same.
Right. Your like, number of wins is who did you beat?
Correct. Like, it's just like that is a that is more of a reality of how bad the league is.
But if they're rolling out 10 wins plus won the games by 30 plus points.
Or it's like, even, well, I don't damn. Know, Kevin, or finished second in the conference.
Right.
I believe the highest finish for Ryan is fifth.
I
maybe
just,
it was a tie for fourth. I want to double check that.
On paper, it will be great. It will show some progress, and it will be fun to watch the conference championship. But it's not going to do anything to change the big two problems that Memphis need to fix in the on the football realm of things in order to position this university for conference realignment. Like, that's to me the problem, and is you can get there, and that's going to be great.
Last year they finished in a tie for third.
Oh, a tie for third. Ooh, yee. What? Who were they tied for? Was
it Navy? But they lost. You know, they would have lost the tiebreaker.
Right.
They finished fourth the previous year. They finished. Ooh, gross.
I might be changing. One, am I allowed two, to change? Three, four, change what five, I said for this six, buy or sell? Am I allowed
seven,
to change it?
Eight. Eight. Finished eighth in year three. In year two, they finished. One, two, three, four, five, six, seventh. And in year, they were in a tie. That was that weird COVID year where everybody had an uneven number of games.
Don't really count that.
They had three losses, which would have tied them basically for like fourth.
Can I change? Is it allowed?
This isn't
live, though. This isn't live.
I mean, yes, you can use.
Is this live? No, I'm selling because I don't. I think the Bar should be winning the conference. They got to win the conference championship. I know it's hard because Tulane is one of those other teams in the conversation that could make it to the college football playoffs this year.
I'm willing to leave room for football. Like, what if you get it? Like, what if you beat?
If it's a close game.
Like, if you beat Tulane and then they turn around and they beat you in the rematch. Like, those are probably two evenly matched rosters, and one's going to win one wins the other. You know what I mean? Like, I'm willing to leave room for that.
Okay.
To me, this is what
football happened.
And by the way, we're not talking about an A. I am literally doing, this is the pass fail.
This is pass or fail. Yeah.
Yes.
Very, very simple. I agree. They've got to get there. And getting there and losing will quiet the any possible movement.
But at least it would be progress.
It would be progress.
It would be a different, like, to my whole deal is like,
but does it change anybody's mind? Does it change? And I'm talking fans or and conferences.
I don't know. I've always struggled with this. When people kind of have their view, it's like
you can change their view.
Okay,
if Memphis is going to the college football playoffs every year. That will change the view of the fans. It will change the view of the media.
If they were going to
conferences, everybody.
If they were going to the playoff every year, he'd be a better coach than he is. Like, I'm just keeping that real. Like, he would be in a different category. The problem is, like,
but that should be Memphis's goal every year because they have the chance to be. They're asking you to be just as good as Boise State. That's all we're saying. Be just a little bit better than Boise.
I don't even. I'm not even saying that. Like, I'm asking them to be in the conversation. I'm asking them to be better than Tulane.
I want there at least to be. I think the bar for this. I want to see the season end, which is possible. Why it's laid out. Who else is Memphis contending against? Tulane, right? One of your biggest.
In terms of odds, it's Tulane. Navy, UTSA, I think.
I mean, is it too much to ask to say you want to get to November and be able to get to Thanksgiving dinner and be able to have the debate with people? Should Memphis or should Boise be getting that invite?
Tulane has the best odds at a
group of six debate, and it involves Memphis in that debate. That's, I think, where the goal should be.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is I'm willing to kind of reach out and shake hands and say, Silverfield, I'll give you a step in between. Like,
I know what you're saying.
The step in between is you should be in this game.
Yeah.
Like,
I think we've been saying that. Haven't we been saying that, though? Do we just keep, like.
Well, this is where I understand the argument, and I would probably fundamentally agree. In the end, the Memphis's path to a different conference is football. So I understand why.
But it can't be 100% football, but it seems really like Memphis has the other stuff going for them as well.
The way that Silverfield's contract is structured, which in fairness to Ed Scott, he didn't come up with.
Yeah.
He inherited it. The way the contract is structured, you're stuck. Because he's not going to win big enough to get another job unless he takes a lateral job, which I don't know why you would. You have one of the best G5 jobs. Like, you're only moving up, in my opinion.
Right, exactly.
So you're getting this position where he's going to keep getting extended, but you're just going to be left going, what are we doing here? What's the money for?
And that's my big concern. Like, he makes the conference championship game, loses it. Like, we're stuck
but
with
I
him.
Guess,
he's
I
stuck
guess
with us.
I want to go back to the point about changing people's minds. Because the closest I think he got to changing people's minds was Saturday in Tallahassee last year.
I think so.
I think that was kind of the moment that most people are like, all right, that's our coach.
And then Mike Norvell was like, watch this. I'm just going to lose the rest of the games and prove that I am the best Memphis coach.
No, that's not true. They beat Cal.
I'm the best Memphis coach of all time.
They beat Cal. And
might not be
then
the best
they lost
Florida
every
State
other
coach.
Game.
Yeah, might not be the best Florida State coach of all time, but I am the best Memphis football coach.
Remember that 12-0 team that got left out of the playoff?
I know it's hard to forget. It seems like so long ago.
But like it is the ultimate, like, it's just kind of hilarious. It's like the next week they turn around and they lose to Navy.
Yep.
And then they lose to UTSA.
And there's coaching involved with that next week turnaround losing after what is your marquee.
That is also a schedule difficulty.
It's a schedule.
Like you
but everybody's got a schedule that they've got to.
No, but it would have been really nice to play MTSU the week after Florida State rather than having to go to Navy. But
100% agree.
But I also blame, and this was Ryan was part of this, when he and Laird requested from the league, they wanted the lesser schedule last year because they thought they were going to open the new stadium this year.
Oh, I mean,
stadium opening?
To wasting that money on the renovation.
Well, that's a whole nother argument.
I know,
but this is
another negative side effect.
I said this in real time. Why would you do this? There's never been a construction project in history outside of probably Las Vegas that finishes on time.
They were on budget and on time, and they changed the time that
plans changed. Yeah, you can always stay on time if you just change. Like, it's like in the airports. Like, it's on time if you just announce like that you're moving the time of the flight.
Right.
So,
right.
But like, I think what we saw last year was, even despite a high, like, this is the thing. Fans are predisposed to want to root for you. Like, that's what they want. They want to believe. They want to have their guy. But when everyone's just kind of decided you're just meh, it's really tough to completely change their minds.
Now, and there's a chance. So if you have an undefeated season going to the conference championship, maybe that's the only other way that can at least check the fan boxes a little bit that I'm talking about.
I mean,
getting
I think
the fans
if,
to buy
if they
into
went
it.
11-1, like let's even in Norvell's Cotton Bowl season, they lost a game. I get the league was tougher.
The league was tougher.
But like,
well, then they beat UCLA that
their
year.
Their loss was Temple.
And, yeah, I mean, like, still, but
no, I think UCLA. I think it's 2017.
What? But. They beat somebody.
Is Rosen the 18 draft? Are they? It's like Allen, it's Josh, it's Baker, it's Darnold, it's Rosen and Lamar.
So they beat
are
Mississippi they, State. They beat 2018? Somebody back when Mississippi State was.
The Cotton Bowl year was they beat Ole Miss to start.
Is Ole Miss was that
2018 was NFL draft?
Yeah.
For
so
Josh
they
Rosen.
Beat
yep.
they beat UCLA in 2017.
It was Ole Miss. Okay.
Where's the Ole Miss
we're so accustomed to. The you know Tiger football having you know one
no the Ole Miss game's
non-conference
the Ole Miss game's 2019 because Matt got fired that year.
Jeffrey testing his brain for trivia tomorrow.
Yeah.
Even
well,
though
I lost.
There no
I
no questions.
I cannot
about
drive
sports.
On these
no
streets and not see Honda passports. Like I'm seeing ghosts. I'm seeing Darnold out there. Like every ghost I see is just a Honda passport.
Way to rub it in.
It's just tough.
Yeah, that's I feel for you. I feel for you. It's been a long time. We will not forget this particular Rider Than Right loss from last week. If you haven't listened, go back and listen to the podcast. It is a a memorable game for the ages of the 5 years we've been doing Right or the Right trivia on this station. It was one of the best games we have ever had, storyline wise. Of course, that's always a factor, whether it's football or it's trivia on the radio.
My wife's car's a Honda Passport, so that even makes it tougher. I even said
makes it tough. Yeah.
Instead of listening to the clue, I started trying to name the Honda product line and see if I could stumble on it. But that's a tough one. All right. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. We got it right with the inductions into the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame.
I'm gonna buy that because I'm glad they're listening. Jeff, you took your vacation. We spent some time, in August talking about the Memphis Sport Hall of Fame here on the radio.
I will say, and you have more experience with it than I do, I do think the people that run the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame, I think they know, hey, you can't please everyone. I do think they actually try to take feedback.
I hope they do. When you say the people who run it, I'm on the radio saying Jeff Calkins runs it. That's what I believe. I believe Calkins
Jeff was in a lot
it.
Of Michigan this year.
Yeah, he didn't make all the meetings. He was
lot
zooming in. A
lot of Michigan.
Zooming in from the
he
lake.
Was fighting, he was fighting the rich guy that wanted to put a street in his backyard. Like he's been a little distracted from the city events.
It's the top billing here. You always got to have your big name attraction, especially if you're selling tickets. So Hall of Fames are tricky, right? You're trying to sell tickets.
Name on the billboard.
Right. You got to sell tickets to the event. And so you got to have somebody who is living in a big name be inducted every year.
And likely to show up.
And likely to show up, right. And so we had talked about, it was between three big former Grizzlies, one who's also a former Tiger, and Tony Allen, Mark Gasol, or Derrick Rose. One of those names was going in. They went the Tony Allen route the same year he went to the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame, which makes it seem like they're playing catch up more than anything else. And so, but Tony Allen is a deserving
question.
Inductee.
Was Tony supposed to go in earlier and then the legal trouble?
I know.
We had that was the issue with the jersey retirement.
Definitely an issue with that, yeah.
But I don't remember if that was a Memphis Sports Hall of Fame issue as well.
But I'm not going to fault them for, being late to the party, right? That Tony is a big Hall of Fame year for Tony. His jersey retirement was this year too, right? Was it this?
This past season. Yeah. I mean, in fairness, Tony has also had some issues that have made this a delayed thing. This would have happened sooner.
The one of my fellow Houston high school graduate.
I'll say he's about your age, isn't he?
Yeah, he came after me at Houston, a few grades below. We have Matt Cain going in. Oh yes, one of the great best baseball players, in Memphis history. We had Joy Lee is going in, right? Former Memphis coach. We knew that from earlier in the summer. But what really I look at is the wrestling element. So Jeffrey, my issue is that when they started this Hall of Fame, like right before COVID, back 2019 or so. They said, we're going to put wrestlers in. We're going to count wrestling. And it's since they started this,
wrestling.
Wrestling, sure. They only put in
pro wrestling.
One wrestler has gone in since they started, and they put the caveat, we will be inducting wrestlers. They put one name in, the obvious name. Yes, Jerry the King Lawler was in, I believe, the inaugural class for this. Maybe the second
correct.
Year.
Maybe it was year two. Because I want to say maybe it was year two because I think there was some debate. But
he should have been in it. Yeah. Anyway, they say we're going to accept wrestlers, but they haven't put one in since then. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? There is no list longer in any sport than wrestling that deserves to have in there. And I had a list of four that I was like, you guys are just stupid and sleeping on the job for not putting in four names. And one of them is getting inducted. That is Spudnick Monroe. Spudnick Monroe is going into the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame. But under some, maybe you can help me with this, Jeffrey. I don't understand why they have a separate award. It's like their Warrior Award. But he's getting inducted, but it's a special award that he's getting. Does that mean he's really in the Hall of Fame, or he's in the Hall of Fame and gets extra accolades for getting into the Hall of Fame? Or are they saying that his in-ring performance was not worthy, so it's only his community impact
is
worthy?
Like,
what is this legacy award?
I was viewing it like the people that get into the NFL Hall of Fame from the senior committee. Like, the guy, you have your Hall of Fame eligibility, and if that time runs out, you can get in later if, there's I think it's older members of the Hall of Fame, like they vote you in.
Okay. Well, I don't, for some reason they're putting him in, but there's like kind of an asterisk next to Spudnick going in. But Spudnick deserves to be in. But on my list of four, I also had Lance Russell on there. My list of four becomes a list of five once Lance gets inducted, because you can't put Dave Brown in before Lance, but you're putting in broadcasters. Dave Brown should be in the Hall of Fame. And my biggest gripe is that we're dragging the feet. You say a big part of a Hall of Fame is making, you know, these people have got to show up.
But do we, I guess let me ask you this terms. Do we need the media wing like we have at the Baseball Hall of Fame? Because, like, I think there's a difference with Lance.
Jarvis is in, George is in, and Calkins will be in. And I believe you should induct people while they're still alive. It's a very important
thing. I totally agree with that.
Spudnick has been dead for decades. And we need to get to Dave Brown being on there. You can't put Dave in without Lance. So you're either doing Lance and Dave together, which I think does a disservice to Lance, because Lance, not outside, Lance has called Tiger games. He's called Tiger games back in the day.
Yep.
But also, he invented the televised fishing show, which Bill Dance was on. It was invented by Lance. So, like, there's a reason to have Lance in on his own. But if you need to put Lance and Dave in as a tag team, I'd be fine with that as well. I'm sure Dave wouldn't mind that. But you got to get Dave in the Hall of Fame. He's alive. So you got to put Lance in before Dave or at the same time as Dave. But also, Bill Superstar Dundee is deserving, and he is getting older and is having health issues. We need to be putting Bill Superstar Dundee in this Hall of Fame. The mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, is alive,
also
getting older.
The writer of Lance Russell's Nose, an absolute banger from the 70s.
An amazing musician. I've had it hits with his band. A Hall of Famer by any definition in professional wrestling. He should be in it. So my list of four, Jeffrey, was Spudnick. They're putting him in. But it was also Lance, Jimmy Hart, and Dundee. And then once Lance got in, then Dave would be put on there. Those are the no-brainer wrestlers that should be in the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame. And I just worry, like, they're dragging their feet on some of these legends, like Jimmy Hart. Jimmy Hart's right-hand man passed away this year in Hulk Hogan. So, like, don't waste time.
Jimmy was... Hulk was Jimmy's right-hand man?
Hey, that's how I spin it. That's the Memphis perspective.
That is storytelling.
Tell your story. Is that the theme of the show?
That is rule number one.
Jimmy Hart, there's no question he's deserving. I have a full list. We're not going to get in the full list. I'm saying these are the obvious ones that should be put in. So here's my issue with them. It's like they're acting like we can only put in one wrestler. Why couldn't you put in more than one wrestler this year? Like, what are you waiting on? You're running out of people here.
I guess where I have sympathy, so I'll reluctantly buy this one because they are playing catch up. I mean, what, we started it in, was it 17 or 18? I know it was pre-pandemic.
Right. And they missed a few years too, so not only are they playing catch up, but like they skipped a couple of years.
I do think it is I also think that the classes are a little big.
You think it's still too big? They were ginormous.
But I also acknowledge why we have to do it. We have to do it because we're playing catch up. But
they're getting a little bit smaller. But if you're playing catch up, why don't you have?
I do agree with your point.
There should be a wrestler every year, so I'm glad we have Spudnick. So maybe we're on the trend where we can get a wrestler every year.
I do like how we're acknowledging
Spudnick.
I like how we're acknowledging the high school the legendary high school coaches. I think those are a dying breed, and
that is awesome.
I think that those people are
no
important.
No argument for me there. And I think Tony going in makes sense. And they're going to, like, that's where you do drag it out some. Like, don't put Tony, Mark, and Derrick Rose in on the same year. Each year, you got one of those guys. Next year could be Derrick Rose. The next year could be Mark Gasol. You could spread it out and the bigger names, the younger people. But a lot of the wrestlers who are deserving that are still alive, you don't have that many more years to be dragging it out. We need to be honoring the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, Treadwell High School graduate in the Memphis Sport Hall of Fame, while he could still come here and yell in a megaphone.
That's true.
So that's what we need to be doing. So Jimmy Hart better be in next year, and I'm going to go ahead and submit my nomination. George, you're not allowed to nominate, as we know, because you're from DeSoto County.
But I did not realize that was a rule.
You can.
What if you're from the suburbs?
You have got to be, I believe,
you have to be a Shelby County.
Shelby County resident. So, like, you can't be from Fayette County. You can't be from Marion, Arkansas. You've got to be. That rule also needs to be. But that's, you know, that's not, you know, this is the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame. I want to help.
Like, my thing is, like, if it's going to be the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame, like, all right, it needs to be city limits.
Right. Like, would this,
like, if you're going to do that, like, my thing is make it the city limits, because then you start, like, really opening up the can of worms.
No, this is just like, I think you should be able to nominate. I mean, yeah, that's just like,
I agree.
What are you saying? Like, the New York Sports Hall of Fame, you can't count any Giants or Jets games or players because they played in New Jersey. So they does not count. They played in New Jersey, Jeffrey.
Yes.
Like, that's so small town. We're working against it. I didn't mean to get into this rant. The reason I'm going after the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame, because I want it to be a credible thing that we do care about. And I do care about Memphis wrestling history, because it was such an ignored part of the legacy media in this town. It, like, the snobbery of George Lapidus and that era of media, where they acted like the biggest thing in the city did not exist.
Yes.
And because of what it was hard to find as, you know, it occasionally get covered in the appeal section of the commercial appeal, but not the sports section. They had to buy their way into getting results in the newspaper. It was just complete snobbery. While it was the biggest thing in the city, and for a while, one of the biggest things in the country, with Andy Kaufman and Jerry Lawler going on David Letterman, but that stuff's not, wasn't getting covered by the local media because there were some snobbery going on. It's like a sport, like somebody writing about food in Memphis. This thing, like, you're in the 1970s, you're writing about food in Memphis, you're like, well, I'm not going to cover barbecue because they don't cook the food, they smoke it. And it's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
it's the biggest thing in the city is barbecue, but they smoke it, they don't really cook it. It's like, what makes you a snob in that way? Wrestling, shout out to ESPN, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's never going to be more mainstream than it is right now. What?
Unless it's AEW. ESPN doesn't cover that,
right? Of course,
they got rid of the AEW.
That's a hell
by the
of
way. Apparently, Jericho's coming back.
But ESPN is getting in on wrestling more than ever before. But it doesn't change. Like, Memphis historically, one of the biggest problems with the local media was how they treated professional wrestling when it was a moneymaker. But Jericho could be coming back to WWE very soon. I'm keeping up with that. It'll be interesting. A final chapter of his career. But Jericho would not be eligible for the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame. But Jimmy Hart better go in next year, or Lance and Dave together, or Lance so we can get to Dave. Stop dragging your feet on these wrestling inductions, but shout out to Spudnik Monroe. Finally,
shots
we got
fired.
Another wrestler in the Hall of Fame.
That's not a threat. That's a promise from Kevin Cerruto. Shout out the Buttercream Gang. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, TV timeout next, right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
You get poetic songs like this. I always wonder, did they like actually get pen and paper out to write the lyrics down? Like, was there thought that went into writing this? Or is it just like, all right, give me the beat. Let's just start push play on Pro Tools and we'll just like see what rhymes.
I don't know. I've got the music video on in here.
This song
sounds like a Four Locos. And for those kids that don't remember, there was a time when Four Locos was literally a blackout in a can.
Yeah, this is a gold Four Loco right here.
Yeah, this was
very specifically a gold one.
I remember one of my buddies had two, and we found him peeing on a tree inside, like a
fake tree, a house plant.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, okay, well, that tells me what Four Locos is all about. All right, we got our TV timeout, and I had mentioned this at the top of the show. Shout outs to Tom Brady, because I do respect his ability to basically just be like, I don't care. The rules do not apply to me. I'm going to keep doing whatever. I want to own an NFL team. I also want to make $35 million a year calling the NFL, because we have now learned that the NFL, and I believe, Kevin, I told you this.
Yes.
I was woke on this at the Super Bowl, that the Super Bowl was the trial run, the test balloon. And indeed, that was correct. Tom Brady will not be allowed to go to practices, but he will be allowed to go to production meetings with the teams before games, lifting one of the restrictions on a current NFL owner should he choose to be a broadcaster.
Yeah, it's not fair.
Do we think he gets any better?
Oh, no. No.
Like, that's the other thing is, like, I don't know. Like, think about it in these terms. Romo got worse.
Well, it was hard. I mean, it was hard to live up to the standards that we set for him, that he set for us, all in that, you know, when he not only was Romo was great in his debut season, but he also, like, I think really pushed the big name wave that we're in today.
Well,
the marquee name has got to be the way. Like, before Romo, I think people made their name in the booth.
I think the names still mattered. What was different was,
I don't think they mattered as much since Romo.
Well, Madden, like, that was the thing. Madden was always a big deal.
But Madden was a bigger broadcaster and a video game star than he ever was a coach.
Yeah, but you see what I'm saying? Like, the name still mattered. I mean, look at it this way. Aikman was the Cowboys quarterback.
Yeah, he worked out.
What I think,
they always tried it, but yeah, and a lot of times it doesn't work out. Yeah, I got you.
Like, my thing with Romo is, Romo, some of this was also not his fault.
Romo's gotten worse.
Well, I think with Romo, the thing is, the farther he got, or further that he got away from his playing days,
right,
the less familiarity he had with the league. And then it's also the classic, everybody's patting you on the back saying you're great, and a lot of it was largely a parlor trick. It was, hey, I know the formation, I'm going to call the play out based on formation, and he kind of made that his thing. And then when people started realizing, like, hey, he's not batting 1,000 here, and then I think probably some – I'm not sure he's really working that hard. I think he might work harder on his golf game. I think that was a big part of it. But then I think it's like anything in life. Like, once it just becomes so popular, eventually we just turn. So I think there was a part of that. But the big thing with Romo was ESPN was trying to get Monday Night Football figured out.
Mm-hmm.
And Romo's contract was up. And ESPN was basically coming in with a blank check, just going after everyone. So they got Romo paid. They got Collinsworth paid. And then they got to the end. They're like, we've got to get somebody. So they went and just got Buck and Aikman. And they paid, I think they paid Troy $100 million. I think they paid Buck.
Good Lord, yeah.
I think their booth is like $200 or $150 million, something along those lines.
Smart move. Also, like, when you go after the names, like, that was an established team, though. You know, so we go back to, like, Lance and Dave were talking about in the opening segment.
I mean, they're
such a great team, and that's hard to do, to get that chemistry that's also going to work.
Pat and Madden.
They both helped each other out. Yeah, exactly. Going back to and that's what, if you remember, you know, back, this is our younger days.
But the Cowboys, what are we calling it, Netflix documentary series.
Have you been watching it?
Guys, it's must watch.
It's must-watch.
It's incredible. Like, it is definitely, I would not call it a documentary. It is very one-sided, but it is phenomenal.
Is it closer to a mockumentary?
No, it's closer to, it is the world according, it's closer to, like,
The Last Dance.
Yeah. It's
okay.
The world according to them. And
how many hours of telling your story?
8, whew, basically. I think some episodes are like, it's like in that 45, like, I think there's one that's over an hour, but like, It's must watch.
I considered watching that.
Aaliyah's even into it.
I ended up watching The Biggest Loser one instead.
The documentary?
Yeah, the documentary for The Biggest Loser.
One of my fat friends said there's a lot of fat people getting mad at this one. It's like, okay. All right, so the other thing that I was mentioning is, guys.
But no, your point, like Pat Summerall, John Madden, that was the true team. And, you know, they were, Fox brought them over to legitimize their, you know,
well, when CBS, CBS, so they were with, yeah, CBS, and then CBS loses, because that was the other thing that got me thinking about it. CBS used to have the, like, we're used to, our whole lifetime, for the most part, CBS has had the AFC.
Right.
Well, CBS used to have the NFC package. Like, they were calling all the Cowboys games. And it's just weird. It's like, now it's like, oh, it's a Fox thing, and CBS has the AFC. And then they're doing this move now where it's like, we're not even honoring the AFC and NFC packages. We're just putting AFC games on Fox, NFC games on CBS. It's like, who cares anymore? It's like, there's nothing sacred. But with with Brady, I don't even, like, the thing that they tried to, remember, Camp Brady originally tried to sell, hey, he's going to be the tell-it-like-it-is guy, which would have been interesting. But the problem is, he's so intertwined with the league, that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, because basically everyone that's, like, that's the other problem that I have a lot of broadcasting now.
What is it?
The broadcasters are all league approved. Like, in the end, we're never going to get anyone that interesting.
Well, who would be a non-league approved great fit? I mean, I immediately think Dennis Miller. Like, I think of like the,
by
what
the way,
they were
I'll
throwing at the wall.
Dennis was not that bad. He was ahead of his time.
Didn't we had Tony Kornheiser at some point, right?
Kornheiser was in there, but he didn't like flying either. And so it was like Kornheiser was with Joe, I think, Theismann. And I think they were with Tirico.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So we had
the era of trying out that.
Who was Dennis with? Fouts?
Non-traditional.
Was it Al, Dennis, and Fouts? And then I think NBC or ABC moved Fouts like exclusively to college.
That's where I was like the Aikman Buck team on Monday Night Football. It really has reestablished that.
I think history has also been kind to both of them. I think the longer you go on, the more you realize, like, these guys are pretty good.
Well, I'm saying, like, but now they're the consistent, until they are both done, they're probably going to be doing Monday Night Football. And Monday Night Football needed them so badly, because there was this, like, they were throwing stuff at the wall for it seems like decades, trying to figure out who was your Monday Night Football broadcast teams. And now they've added that consistency. It's like when the internet
host of WWE pre and post game shows was calling Monday Night Football games.
Oh, he was?
Yeah,
that's right. He was. He had Joe Tessitore.
Yeah. I think Steve Levy had
he's really good at
I think Steve Levy
wrestling.
And Greasy had a run in there.
But they changed so much. It's like you when you ever watch wrestling, you know, and like they're like, man, the Intercontinental Championship has just changed too many times recently. We're going to give somebody, we're going to need some consistency. We need to reestablish this belt as something big.
Who's got the belt right now?
I don't know. But, you know, they had.
Okay. I was
Gunther
about to say,
had it right for a long time.
Yeah, no, but I thought Gunther had.
I'm saying he had it. Like, he was one of those guys. He reestablished the credibility of that belt.
Right. And then he reestablished the television, whatever, the old WCW belt. And now he's got
that. Yeah. But like,
I'm a Gunther stand. That guy's phenomenal.
He is great. He is great. And he is pushing 40.
But yeah, but he's like, I feel like
he's younger than he looks.
I feel like he's
compared to the other guys.
I feel like he's a lot like Jokic. Like, I feel like his game is not necessarily predicated like purely on athleticism. It's like, we just got to keep him upright is basically what we need with Gunther. All right, but my other thing with Brady is, like, I don't know like what the path is for him to be better.
Well, there's not. Like, he's running on the star power only. Like you're saying, what was making Tony Romo work? It was. And maybe this is, and maybe the Tony Romo strategy wasn't go for the biggest name. It was go for the guy who just retired, no matter who he is, that played quarterback, because he's going to be able to give you insight for at least a season or two that you're not going to have. And I like that.
I think that's the thing about Romo. I actually think the irony is what got Romo the gig is also like what he's gotten away from. What got him the gig is. Like,
well, Romo was he was the quarterback for the Cowboys.
Right, but,
got
but I'm saying, like, they were testing out a bunch. Because remember, he retired around, like, this is around
He happened to be great at it, but.
But that's the thing. It's like, they started testing out all these people, and he was really good at it. And they're like, all right, we're going with Romo. But there were other options they could have gone with. But, like, now the thing is, with Brady, it's, I don't know
Romo
how
was
he
always
gets
the,
good.
The poor man's Brady at the time, right? Like he was like
I'm a low key
the other good looking quarterback and a high profile on a high profile team.
Pete Brady Jessica Simpson was hotter than Pete Gisele. I'll be the guy that has the courage to say it. Gisele's face too long. No, thank you.
All right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.